This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
Welcome to House Judiciary. We're going to do something unusual and start close to on time. Turn off your cell phones. Pages, have you guys introduced yourselves in this committee yet? Would you mind coming on up, pressing the mic, and tell us a little bit about yourselves?
I'm Eve Gable. I'm from Watertown, and I'm planning on going to LETI for a medical laboratory science degree.
Thank you.
I'm Megan Thornhill. I'm from Newell, and I'm going to go to the School of Mines to be a chemical engineer.
Wow. Good luck, Megan.
Hi, my name is Mindy Ravnitz. I'm from Blount, South Dakota, and I plan on going to the School of Mines as well to go for mechanical or metallurgical engineering.
Good for you. School of Mines has a couple winners this morning. We'll establish a quorum. Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Representatives Hunt?
Here.
Johns? DeSanto?
Here.
Haugard?
Here.
Langer? Latterell?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Russell? Westra? Gibson?
Here.
Tiller? Stevens?
Here.
Nicholson?
Here.
Quorum.
We do have a quorum. Do we have a motion on the minutes?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Representative Stevens. A second by Representative Gibson. All in favor of approving the minutes, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Minutes are approved. Anyone that's here to testify on a bill, just remember to sign in. If you have handouts, the pages will help you distribute those. If during the question portion of testimony, please address your questions through the chair. And the first item on our agenda is House Bill 1237, a bill to adopt the Uniform Power of Attorney Act. Proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Jeff Partridge, District 34. The Power of Attorney Act is a bill that is actually going to require a little bit more work and other parties to take a look at it and vet this out. So I would respectfully ask the Chair to table this bill.
Thank you. Representative Stevens.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we table House Bill 1237.
Motion by Representative Stevens to table, second by Representative Gibson. No debate. Madam Secretary, please call the vote. The motion before you is a motion to table House Bill 1237.
Representatives Hunt?
Aye.
Johns? DeSanto?
Aye.
Haugard?
Aye.
Langer? Latterell?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Russell? Westra? Gibson?
Aye.
Killer? Stevens?
Aye.
Nicholson?
Aye.
8 yea and 5 not voting.
8 in favor of the table motion. Motion to table carries. Representative Haugard, are we ready on House Bill 1167?
Mr. Chairman, no. I visited with Paul Bichand and also Representative Johns. I did get an amendment put together from LRC, but I think we still need to tweak that language just a little bit, so we'll be ready next time, and we can do it quite quickly next time, I think.
That sounds good. Thank you for that. We'll move on to House Bill 1068, a bill to adopt the South Dakota Nonprofit Corporation Act. We'll ask for proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Tom Barnett representing the State Bar. I have to ask for your indulgence. We're not ready to go yet today, and I appreciate the latitude that your chair has given us as we have been working to address issues that and concerns of primarily existing nonprofits. I can tell you that there's another hog house coming. We're going to go from 175 pages to, my guess is, about 14. But the concepts that are in the hog house are exactly the same that are in the current bill of 175 pages. What we did with the hog house that's coming to you soon, we grabbed certain language that was in the body of it. We moved it way up front into 4722. And Amanda, I'll show you where we're looking for that. And then that allowed us to drop off all kinds of pages without changing the goals and the substance. I have several experts here who are prepared to briefly talk about the major concepts that are in the bill originally and will still be in the hog house that you'll get shortly. And any questions that you may have about those concepts dealing with domestication, merger, conversion, those are in the text now, but they take many, many pages. We distilled it down. I can tell you that what's going to be coming to you shortly is the product of a lot of hard work. I've had my experts up here the last 2 days working with the Lieutenant Governor and Mr. Seward and a young lawyer in their office, AJ. We just finished about an hour ago, and it's being drafted. I'll get it to Amanda later today. I know there's a lot of interest out there. As soon as we have it in proper form and substance, we've asked Amanda to email that to you for your consideration. Obviously, you won't be acting on it this week. We'll be looking at next week, but we'll get it out to you, hopefully, if not tomorrow, certainly by Friday. We'll get it to you. I'm also going to put it on my website. And everybody that has ever signed up and said, we're interested in this, I will email them their copy of the amendment. And so everything should be in good place. Short reading for the weekend, and then we'll take it up next week for action. But I'm going to turn it over to my two experts, Amy Arndt and Pat Getzinger. They do tons of work in this area. They worked and labored hard on it, and I appreciate the fact that they came up and have worked the last 2 days.
Mr. Barnett, maybe for the benefit of the committee, could you just list the top three benefits that what this bill is intended to do, just to kind of put a little bit of a perspective on it, the reason for us having the bill?
Thank you, Representative Stevens. First of all, we are going to address electronic communications and notices, and that will be made available for every existing if they want. It's all optional. And they'll talk in greater depth, but that's the number one biggest concern, because virtually all of us are operating in the modern world with emails and so forth. And so that is going to be addressed specifically. Secondly, domestication, which is economic development, inviting out-of-state nonprofits to move and put their offices here in the state of South Dakota and with their employees. That's still going to be covered. Conversion will be covered. That's where you take an existing nonprofit and you convert it to another entity that's allowed under South Dakota law. Which one am I forgetting? Conversion. And committees, yes. Most nonprofits are going to have subcommittees on their boards, and right now it's not clear how you do it, and it's unclear on whether or not they are afforded the immunity provisions and indemnification provisions that currently exist for the board, but not necessarily those committees. And so those are critical. There were oversights, and our bill is going to address those, and I'll turn it over to them. Thank you. And we'll all be available for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Barnett. Further proponent testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Pat Getzinger, and I'm an attorney in the law firm of Gunderson, Palmer, Nelson, and Ashmore in Rapid City, South Dakota. And the purpose for me being here is to give you some highlights associated with the legislation that Tom Barnett talked about that will be coming to you in a much streamlined and shortened version than what was previously presented by the state bar. And if you're looking for the person to point the finger at with regard to a 175-page bill, point the finger at me. When I was state bar president in 2011 and 2012, one of the major themes that I had as state bar president was to ask the legal profession to give back to their profession, give back to their community, and give back to their state. And our state bar and its lawyers responded in stellar fashion in terms of the role they played on nonprofit boards, representing nonprofit organizations, raising the profile of philanthropy in South Dakota, being on the leading edge of reforming the South Dakota Plan Giving Council, bringing forward with the UJS and the Chief Justice the Rural Attorney Recruitment Program, and raising hundreds of thousands of dollars in the state bar to support that program. But part and parcel of asking the bar to give back was to examine our nonprofit statutes. And I asked our business law committee to take a look at our 50-year-old nonprofit statute and bring forward recommendations on how to bring that statute into the 21st century to reflect the things that nonprofit organizations encounter in today's world. I appointed Amy Arndt as the chair of the business law committee, and Amy will come up and explain to you a couple of the finer points of this legislation, and also appointed Bobby Thury from the Cutler Law Firm in Sioux Falls to chair the subcommittee that brought forward the recommendations for this legislation. And the work of that committee followed closely what was done with regard to the revised Model Nonprofit Corporations Act, and in consultation with others around the state, we're coming back to you with a much shortened version, as Tom explained, where we're taking the best of the revised Model Nonprofit Corporations Act and bringing it into South Dakota's existing Nonprofit Corporations Act. And to just highlight four of those items, I'll talk about two and Amy will talk about two, they revolve around the fact that we're allowing and authorizing electronic forms of communication to occur with regard to the governance of the nonprofit board and officers, electronic meetings, electronic forms of communication. Currently, our state law is silent on those forms of communication, and obviously in today's world, we do a lot of things by email and electronic means of communication, and we're bringing the best of the revised Model Nonprofit Corporations Act into our law to make it clear that South Dakota nonprofits can communicate electronically. So that's one major revision to current law. The other major revision to current law that Tom referenced was authorizing what we call domestications, conversions, and mergers in the nonprofit world. And to break those down, those concepts exist in our for-profit corporation, for-profit LLC statutes. They've become commonplace. They've been an engine of economic development in South Dakota as a means of attracting businesses, as a means of attracting registrations and filings in South Dakota and businesses moving to South Dakota. And we anticipate the same thing to occur on the nonprofit side by giving specific authorization to mergers, where a nonprofit can merge with another nonprofit, conversions, where a for-profit organization can convert to a nonprofit organization, or vice versa. We're providing a roadmap on how to get that done and to do it in a way that protects the interests of the nonprofit, their members, and the state's interest in those nonprofits. On domestications, that's a situation where we have a foreign nonprofit. And when I say foreign, I mean out-of-state nonprofit, a nonprofit corporation that's formed in another state that wants to change their form of governance or their state of governance to South Dakota. And on each of those, I've got specific examples, but I'll take the one that's most relevant, where I have a Florida nonprofit corporation that is the product of the work of a family that has moved to South Dakota, has moved their business to South Dakota, has moved their estate planning and their trust to South Dakota, and now they want to move their nonprofit to South Dakota. But I can't do it because I don't have the domestication provisions that will allow us to do it cleanly. And it's important that we have that specific authorization in our state law, because this Florida nonprofit happens to own a multitude of mineral rights and mineral interests in Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma. And if you know anything about interest in land and mineral rights, you don't want to mess with them. And we want to have a clean path in our state law that allows that Florida nonprofit to domesticate under South Dakota nonprofit laws without having to change the legal interest in those mineral rights and refile and create the possibility of a gap in terms of who owns those mineral rights. So we're offering to South Dakota citizens and those that want to come to South Dakota another opportunity to do business in South Dakota. And the example that I offer, I believe, will occur dozens of times over once this legislation is passed, and will create the opportunity for our businesses and families coming to South Dakota to do business to also bring their nonprofits to South Dakota. So it's time that we make those provisions available in our state law. I'm very happy with the results of our working sessions with the various constituency organizations and entities that had an interest in this bill to make it a better piece of legislation for you to consider and hopefully pass and become law in South Dakota. I'm going to turn it over to Amy and let her talk about a couple of other fine points, and then we'll entertain any questions that you might have as a committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Getzinger.
Hello, thank you for having me today. My name is Amy Art. I'm an attorney in Sioux Falls, South Dakota with Lindquist and Venom Law Firm. I'm also the chair of the South Dakota Bar Business Law Committee. I've been the chair for about 6 years. As Pat indicated, I took over when he was president of the bar. Our process to vet bills is very involved, very complex. We've been working on this particular bill for about 6 years, and I'll come back to that after I cover the other two major points in this bill. The other two points that I want to add on to Pat's comments are there is a new AG notice provision in the section that requires if there's a sale of substantial or 30% or more of the nonprofit assets, if they transfer to a new entity through sale, transfer, or merger, there's now a notice requirement, or the proposal is there will be a notice requirement to the Attorney General's office. And this allows an enforcement mechanism to help the non-diversion of charitable assets where it may not be in the best interest of that nonprofit. The Attorney General does not need to act on it. It's a notice provision only. There is a current notice provision in the statute that allows within 60 days of that transfer to go to the Secretary of State's office, but it doesn't have to happen prior to, and there's no enforcement mechanism. So that's the first change. The second is a change to committees of the board. Right now, many nonprofits act with various committees, and I'll use two examples. The example of the hockey club that has the brownie and concession board, the t-shirt board, and uniforms board. Those are all act at the direction of the board of directors. They take certain actions on behalf of the board of directors and on behalf of the entity. And then all the way up to more complex organizations and nonprofits that have budget and finance, building and appropriations, mergers and acquisition divisions of their boards that act as if they are a board. What the new act will do will implement provisions that provide a roadmap for those committees to act with more certainty on what their roles and responsibilities are, and will allow those members that agree to serve on those boards a certain degree of certainty, and also indemnification provisions will now be carried over to those members that act on behalf of these committees created by the board of directors. It also acts as, from an attorney perspective, or those that are asked to opine on behalf of nonprofits as to whether or not a particular committee or particular board acted within their role with that nonprofit. So if I'm asked to give an opinion as to whether or not somebody properly authorized a certain action, I can point to a particular statute and say, yes, they acted within their authority under the statute. I will summarize just by saying that our business law committee vets these bills. We take them primarily from two different, or these proposed statutes, we take them primarily from the ABA. This was an ABA model act that we worked off of. We joke, we call it a Bible that we all have been referring to. It's about 600 pages of comments, discussion about these proposed revisions. We've taken the best of that and worked with the governor's office as well as other nonprofits throughout the state to come up with bringing those provisions into the 65 Act, so into the existing Act, and bolstering what we believe is in the best interest of South Dakota.
Thanks for being here.
Welcome.
You better stick around for questions.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. Further proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Some of you might be surprised to see me rising on this side, but it's because I'm governor's office is very thankful. I should introduce myself for the internet. Jim Seward, general counsel in the governor's office. We're very thankful to the Bar Association for agreeing to sit down with us and work on this very complex area of the law. We're very thankful that the Bar brought forward some of these fantastic ideas to help our existing nonprofits and future nonprofits. And we are getting close to completing the Hog House draft with the Bar. And I would expect, as Mr. Barnett said, we should have it ready to go before the end of the week so that you could consider it next week. And many of the fantastic ideas that were brought forward will be in that. As you are all well aware, I happen to have a couple nonprofit lawyers in the office that I work for, and they had a great number of opinions on this, and including the governor's theme of red tape. Hopefully we eliminated about 160 extra pages, but we'll still meet the goals of the Bar, and so we're very thankful that they've been willing to work with us on that. And I think you'll see a fantastic product, and I don't expect any opponents to rise when it comes before you for a final vote. I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Nice to have you here as a proponent, Mr. Seward. Further proponent testimony? Seeing none, do we have opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll go to committee questions. And by way of background, the state bar and the volunteer members of the bar that have worked for the past 6 years to bring us updated nonprofit law, which we haven't acted on meaningfully since 1965. We appreciate your work. To the good representative to my left, Stevens, for agreeing to sponsor the bill. And to Mr. Seward, we appreciate the group convening. And it's easy for us here in Pierre to just vote no because something's not perfect and it's not what we want. It's not exactly what we want. And this is a case where by pushing things forward, and people did work over the weekends to really rewrite the legislation, and folks took time out of their professional lives to be here with us today instead of working so that they could be convening and meeting. So we appreciate all the work and the effort that the collective proponents have brought to us today. And we're not going to take final action here. Of course, we don't have anything to act on, but open it up for committee questions. Representative DeSanto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is for Mr. Barnett. Mr. Barnett, I understand there's been significant changes made to this. Originally, I had several nonprofits contact me saying that they were concerned that with the changes, with this change, they would have to hire an attorney to do more for them, the nonprofits would, rather than being able to do it in-house. So with these changes that have taken place, do you feel that that's eliminated that need for more legal counsel that maybe a nonprofit that doesn't have a budget to pay for a lawyer would be concerned about?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
The major things, Representative, that we talked about, domestication, merger, and so forth, they're going to need a lawyer. There's no question. But we're dealing with very sophisticated nonprofits referenced by, like, Mr. Getzinger. But for the comfort level of your small nonprofits, your mom and pops and so forth, the only thing they need to do to take advantage of the number one thing that they're interested in is electronic communications. All they have to do is one sentence in their bylaws saying, we hereby authorize our board of directors and our members to communicate or do business with that. They don't need a lawyer to do that. It's one sentence, and they can take advantage of that statute that you'll see in the amendment. So your small nonprofits are going to be able to get that number one thing, and they frankly won't have any interest in domestication because they're already here, and I'm confident they are not going to be interested in mergers and so forth, which would take a lawyer, but not for the number one thing, which is the electronic communications. We also know that they're going to have their subcommittees, and they don't have to change anything. They can continue to do that, but our bill will sanction that, and we will extend the indemnification and the immunity provisions to cover those volunteers in those committees, and they won't have to do anything to change.
Additional questions of the committee? I don't see any. We're going to defer action on this bill until we're advised it's ready for our consideration. So with that concludes today's posted agenda, and I'm ready for a motion to adjourn. Motion by Representative Peterson, second by Representative Langer. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.